freedom is a word on everybody's lips today. Some proclaim it, others denounce it. Most people are seeking it. A few claim to have found it. What is this freedom we talk about so much? The first and basic kind of freedom is political. Freedom from oppression and from all unnecessary interference, whether by a foreign power or the state or the church, or indeed any institution of the establishment. The great national liberation movements in Europe took place in the 18th and 19th centuries, while only in the second half of this century have the nations of the Third World obtained independence from colonial rule. The attainment of nationhood is far from the end of the battle for political freedom, however. One of the greatest tragedies of the modern world is the number of countries in which the press is muzzled, elementary civil liberties are denied, minorities are persecuted, and people are imprisoned for their opinions alone. This is the situation in the communist world, as we know very well. But it exists in several countries of the so-called free world, too. And Christians should be in the forefront of those who appeal and work for freedom. And there is need for vigilance in our own country, lest our freedom become eroded in subtle ways. Herbert Marcuse, one of the leading prophets of the New Left, even if we think he exaggerates his case, is issuing some salutary warnings today. He maintains that the vaunted freedom of liberal democracy is illusory, and that modern technological society is itself a form of oppression, because it makes us the slaves of our own political systems and economic markets and mass media. Or, as an example, take two events of this very last week. Both are controversial, and I'm only giving my own opinion. But personally, I believe it was right to introduce internment in Ulster and to pass at least some kind of sentence on the editors of Oz magazine. The purpose of both internment and of censorship is the protection of innocent people. Both are defensive weapons, in the one case physical, defense against terrorism, and in the other moral, defense against the exploitation of our human sexual weakness. Nevertheless, we cannot help agreeing that both are very dangerous weapons, which can easily become the tools of oppression. But why, you may ask, is civil freedom important, and why should Christians concern themselves with it? People do not always ask these questions, but when they do, we find that non-Christians are bearing witness, even unwittingly, to a Christian truth, namely that God made man to be free, free to become a mature person, free to develop into a responsible human being, free to love his Creator and all his fellow creatures, free to give himself in the service of others. Now, political oppression is not the only way in which this basic human freedom to be ourselves is curtailed. It is curtailed by material want as well. I suppose we know that approximately two-thirds of the human race are to some degree undernourished in body or mind or both. As a result, they are not free to live as human beings. Their bodies suffer from malnutrition and therefore disease owing to inadequate medical care. Their minds, too, are starved because of inadequate education. The huge need of the underprivileged third world has still not burdened the Christian conscience enough to move it to compassion and so to effective action. One of the four essential freedoms which F.D. Roosevelt enunciated was rightly freedom from want everywhere. For if man is preoccupied with the struggle to survive, And if he has no proper chance to educate himself, he is not free to be or even to become himself as God meant him to be. Then there is a third kind of freedom. For even in those parts of the world where men and women are politically and materially free from oppression on the one hand and free from want on the other, we cannot assume that they themselves are truly free. For true freedom, the freedom which God meant men to enjoy, is threatened from within as well as from without. A human being may be as free as a bird from all external control or pressure, and yet be a slave to himself and to his own selfishness. Jesus one day startled his hearers by telling them that if they persevered in his teaching, they would know the truth, and the truth would set them free. "What on earth are you talking about?" they retorted indignantly. "We've never been anybody's slaves. What do you mean when you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is the slave of sin." Now, it isn't necessary to be an alcoholic or a drug addict in order to be a slave. There are other kinds of addiction. Some are enslaved by pride, so dependent upon the praise of men that they're unable to survive without it. Others are enslaved by lust and find sexual self-control unattainable. Others by jealousy, their minds obsessed by malice. For such people, and indeed for all of us, the slaves of our own self-centeredness, Christianity has a message of good news. Jesus Christ can set all prisoners free. Not only did he die to bear the penalty of our wrongdoing so as to liberate us from our guilt, but he is alive again. And this living Christ can enter our personality today, can tame our passions, and transform our character. So then, while we thank God for those liberties from external oppression that we enjoy in this country, let us also seek from Christ the inward liberty that only he can give. The liberty of those who know their sins to be forgiven. The liberty of those who find self-fulfillment through Jesus Christ, first learning to control themselves by his power, and then giving themselves to the service of God and man. This is the liberty to be our true selves, as God made us and meant us to be. Now let's pray. God, we thank you for civil liberties and pray that we may be vigilant to guard and enjoy them. And we pray for personal liberty, that Jesus Christ may set us free from the guilt of sin and the domination of self, for his name's sake. Amen.